In one of her writings, she says, "I wrote what I heard and saw in the street. There was my material." The earliest book of poetry I think that she published is called A Street in Bronzeville in 1945. And Bronzeville is what the South Side black community of Chicago, that was kind of her first public recognition. And so I think she was seen as somebody who chronicled the black experience in that period. I think also important is the fact that she was part and parcel of a larger arts movement in Chicago that began, you know, after the Great Depression. I mean, we tend to talk about the Harlem Renaissance, but what we often forget is that that literary, musical, theater, dance renaissance was, you know, in a lot of other places other than Harlem. So there was, in fact, a Chicago Renaissance. And she was very much a part of that. So names that people recognize like Richard Wright, Margaret Walker, Anna Bonton, Thomas Dorsey in music. So I think, you know, part of what she was able to capture was, one, this movement of black people out of the rural South into Chicago, and this new Negro sentiment is what they call it during the Harlem Renaissance, but this new expression of black life through the arts.
A lot of people just think it's like Harlem Renaissance, civil rights movement, there's exactly nothing connecting the two. But
that's
here,
exactly
she's
right.
A great actual bridge between those two.
She is. And I think we need to pay more attention to the fabric of black life in a place like Chicago that was changing so much demographically in terms of the number of black people, the size of the black population as it increased, the fact that black migrants from the South were bringing in particular culture and artistic expressions, and mingling in an urban area with a lot more opportunities for education, for arts, for entertainment. Lorraine Hansberry comes to mind. I mean, we could just go down the list of folks who kind of cut their teeth in the arts movement in Chicago.
This Gwendolyn Brooks archive, her papers.
Right.
Have you seen it? What's inside it? I mean, I guess the nuts and bolts, I mean, how big of a collection is it? What's inside, and what do you hope to find?
I know librarians tend to talk about linear feet of collections, and I don't remember what was said about that, but I remember the discussion about the dozens of boxes that were being brought down from Chicago. I remember discussion of how detailed and organized she was, you know, in keeping her files together, and how much of a journal writer she was. So I think I think what's going to be discovered is the kind of the foundation for her creativity, her artistic productivity. And who knows what young person won't be doing an assignment and see a nugget that will inspire them to continue with their interest in writing poetry or writing novels and that sort of thing.
So how does someone like Gwendolyn Brooks translate nowadays? Does what she wrote still applicable? Is it more than just academic study? Is what she's saying very, you know, universal truth?
Well, I think it's applicable in a couple of ways. One, it's important always when you are listening to a piece of music or looking at a piece of art to talk about context. You know, what was going on when the person was, you know, doing whatever that piece of poetry was, and how might that context have influenced them, and what were they trying to say about that context? And if we do that, and how do they say it, right? If we do that, then as students, you know, become critical thinkers about today's society, they can then think about what's going on in the society today. What models might I draw on to interpret, to express, and how might I convey some of the same sensibilities or a different set of sensibilities? So I think, you know, somebody like Gwendolyn Brooks, particularly because she is so rooted in Illinois, so rooted in Chicago, and here at the University of Illinois, where we have so many students who come from the Chicago area, being able to see what this African-American woman did on the South Side of Chicago, why did she win the Pulitzer, why is she so honored? How is she a part of this larger group of writers and musicians and dancers like Katherine Dunham? You know, really, I think represents a resource that we need to draw on as we continue to try to teach young people today.